The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,500. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening and welcome to hour number two of Sports Talk 1240 on this September 13th, 2015, broadcasting live from WGBB in Freeport, Long Island. Gary Harding with you, and John Panarese is on a beach somewhere in Hawaii. So I pulled John Sweeney into cover for him tonight. Hey, John, what's going on, buddy?
Hello. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets, baby. Mets. Well, hey, we're wearing the two great jerseys here. John's got his David Wright black Met jersey, a little old, but, you know, we got to get him, you know, it's a little retro, but that's okay. And, of course, I'm wearing my Eric Decker Jets jersey with, of course, the 31-14 win over the Cleveland Browns. A little scary at the beginning, as we were talking about before we came on the air, but, hey, they got it done. The running was good. Fitzpatrick did well. A little concerned about some of the injury situations, especially Cromartie, but hopefully everything will fall through and they'll get themselves back together for week two.
Cromartie, it could be concerning because we really need him out there.
Yeah,
and
no
if
question.
He has a bad injury to his leg, this team could be a little bit of
trouble. And unfortunately, you know, you saw how badly he got beat when Manziel threw that long touchdown. But anyway, enough of that. On this second hour of Sports Talk 1240, we are going to have an interview that John Panarese and I pre-recorded last week. Usually our every almost six-month chat with Gar Snow. This is the fourth time we've actually gotten to interview him on this show, which is, I think, is a record of getting somebody on, you know, the most number of times. You know, maybe he's going to start asking for, a permanent seat over here. But we got to talk a little bit with Garth and talk about what he's feeling about the upcoming season and what's going on with that. And then when we come back in the second half hour, we're going to talk about that lovely thing called the 9.5-game lead. And we'll talk a little more about the Jets and some other things. But like I said, John, like I said, it's the usual thing before the season, and we get Garth on. And
fantastic.
Actually, my wife was making some comments to me, and she usually doesn't like to have input into my show, but she figured, you know, she goes, maybe there's a clip you can throw on it in front because, you know, well, you know what Garth did at the beginning of the season, or right before the beginning of the season last year, is he made a couple of great deals. So he was acting kind of like a little bit of a wizard, don't you think?
I love it.
No singing, John. Anyway, so thanks, Claire, for that. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to have our lovely engineer, Brian Graves, turn on the interview that John and I did with Gar Snow. Again, it was done last Thursday afternoon, and it's about 17 minutes, and we hope you enjoy the interview. So, Brian, when you're ready, go ahead.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, September 13th. Our first guest for this evening needs no introduction to both John and I. He is the Islander General Manager, Gar Snow, and he joins us on Sports Talk 1240. Garth, it's Gary and John. Thank you for coming on again for our yearly visit, and welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. Much appreciated.
Well, before we get on to the Islander stuff, obviously, with the Al Arbor passing last week, if maybe you could just start by giving us a couple little glimpses that you had in your history with the team dealing with Al Arbor, talking to him, some memories, and maybe, you know, obviously, you know, the 1500 game is the biggest memory, but any other memories you have of your time that you got to spend with Al?
Yeah, the time that I got to spend with the coach, he was a first-class person, first and foremost. And I'd always heard the stories of kind of like a no-nonsense and type of leader behind the bench, but I saw a loving, caring, generous gentleman. So I was very fortunate to be able to spend a little time with him, especially in the 1500th game milestone. And obviously it was a very sad day for all of Long Island and Islander fans everywhere. So we send out our best to Claire and the family, and understand it's not an easy thing to go through as a family, but nothing but great memories of Al.
I was fortunate enough. I actually briefly met him twice, and not recently, obviously, but going back years ago after the fourth Stanley Cup, the next season, I met him once at a practice, and then I met him another time during – it was really strange. I was actually at a game with my friend's father was, like, working for a bank or something, and it was in the luxury box. I met him for a few minutes, and he was just very nice, just a very nice person to have gotten a chance to meet. Now,
yeah, it's a shame,
though. Kind of – oh, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, John. First, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, not to, you know, just to kind of change gears here because we're, you know, kind of not pressed for time, but obviously new season coming up, getting ready, gearing up for training camp. Any particular thoughts that you have going into the preseason, anything that's kind of on your mind, anything that we should expect as fans?
No, I think for our team, you know, we obviously made several changes last off season. And you know, when you sign players or bring them in either free agency or trade and they're signed, you know, they're usually not 1 year contracts. So we're happy with the group that we have. We think we can build off the season last year off of 101 points and with a young group of players, we expect them to take another step in their development and. And our team will be very similar to last year's team.
When just going extension in that line, you actually, you know, I think the one thing that's very noticeable to somebody that doesn't watch the Islanders all the time is that they have this youth movement, and there's a lot of young, strong talent, obviously, in the wings. Obviously, the likes of Ryan Pulak on the back line, Michael Dahl-Kahl up front, among others. I would assume that these guys are going to have every bit of an opportunity to get the chance to make to crack the top 18 for the team.
Yeah, we would love to be in a situation where we have to make a hard decision like that. You know, we're fortunate enough now and at a place that we don't need to rush prospects like we did, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So it's a good place for us to be. We have a good group of players here with the Islanders now. We have some good prospects in Bridgeport and obviously even younger prospects that can't play in the AHL. So very bullish on our future and where we are as an organization. And I know there was some tough years there for our fans and for us as an organization, but now we're seeing the fruits of that labor.
Are there any, you know, I mean, obviously, you're going, you know, going into a new season, and you know, some people are obviously, and there's always the store of critics out there who are very quick to say, well, the Islanders really didn't do anything in the off season. You know, there were no major moves or anything done like that. Do you have any particular concerns as the GM, any holes that you think that need to be filled, or if there's an opportunity, quote-unquote, out there that you would, you know, you would definitely take advantage of?
Yeah, we would look to improve our team, as we always have. If there's something that we think would point us in a positive direction, we'll act on it. But I'm comfortable with the group that we have, and like I said, it's a young team, and you know, obviously last year we had those several new faces that I thought really helped us turn the corner from 2 years ago, and we're very confident in the group that we have.
Well, I mean, last year, you know, we saw you, or I saw you the day after you swung those two mega deals at Adventureland. And we couldn't pry the smile off your face. So it was quite an interesting coup for you. But just changing now, obviously the announcement was made a couple of days ago to the fact that that Charles Wong got the rights to the Twin Rinks facilities. I would assume that is going to be the actual training camp home for the team for this next couple of weeks.
Well, where that's at, Charles. was declared the victor in the bidding process. And, you know, there's a training camp, rookie camp, training camp set up right now at Iceworks. We did a little bit of renovation there to make it more comfortable for our players until either Kaniak or Twin Rinks became a reality. So right now we're obviously excited with what's happened here in the last few weeks, with regards to potential practice facilities, and it's a beautiful venue for anyone who hasn't been there. It's 165,000 square feet, and it's $55-60 million facility.
Part of the change, though, it's and obviously the team is going to be playing in Brooklyn, first season or inaugural season playing, outside of all the years, 40-plus years in the Coliseum. What is your thoughts on playing in Brooklyn? How's the feeling from the team itself?
Well, I think there's a sense of excitement, to be able to play in a billion-dollar first-class facility. We all loved the convenience of being in the Coliseum here, but it became abundantly clear that, was one of the oldest and didn't have a lot of the amenities that all the newer facilities have in the league. So there's a sense of excitement that we're getting a first-class facility, and we look forward to playing our first preseason game here in a couple weeks.
That's right. It's on the 21st. I think you're playing the Flyers, and I know it's hard for again, I'm speaking for myself. Was that after 28 years, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there every game, and it's tough. But what do you say to a lot of those people that unfortunately can't make it? I mean, I know as me, as from a personal standpoint, I'll be there as much as I can, rooting as hard as I can, and when I'm not having to actually cover a press conference with you or anything, but, it must be hard to go to a new set of fans, because you're going to have a lot of new people coming to visit. I guess it's basically educating those guys with the history of the fans, with the history of the team, and tell them you're making new history in Brooklyn. Is that what they're trying to teach the people in Brooklyn, I guess?
Well, we just want to win, bottom line, and we know we have fans that couldn't make it out to the Coliseum that live in Brooklyn, that live in Manhattan, live in Queens. Islander fans are all around the area, so I understand where you're coming from, where it's not as convenient, and that's unfortunate, but I get a lot of interaction from people that have positive comments about making a home game easier for them as opposed to trying to get out to Nassau County from the city or from Brooklyn. So I understand it. We have a lot of fans in all the different boroughs in the area, and we can't make everyone's life easier, but we just control what we control, and that's trying to win a lot of hockey games this year.
And, it's the reality, the important thing as far as my perspective is that we're still – the Islanders are still in New York. We're not looking at starting the inaugural season in Kansas or Quebec. So, from my perspective, Brooklyn is just fine. And I read in a couple of places, and, I'm assuming this is going to be the case, but for those of us who live – out on the island, Suffolk County, that the Long Island, there is going to be some arrangements with the Long Island Railroad to have some, convenient trains where you're not having to necessarily change in Jamaica to go straight through to Brooklyn to try to, facilitate, to make it easier. And, so in other words, you're not going to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours on trying to get to the facility and back again. Can you comment on any of this stuff? Because I've just read it over the last couple of months, and I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, they're adding numerous lines on game nights to make it more convenient for our fans to get in and out of Barclays Center. So we don't envision that being an issue at all. as soon as they add those new lines.
I think it'll make it easier.
Yeah, it definitely will. I mean, you know, I don't want to get into personal issues, but, you know, I know, you know, most of the fans that are making it, are, again, they aren't wavering their support. You know our relationship with the Booster Club. The Booster Club is still going to be following the team, supporting the team, do whatever we can for the team, you know, despite the fact of what's going on. But just getting back to your guys a minute, you know, I know the summer brings a lot of issues concerning, you know, health and stuff. I assume that everybody is running 100% at this point. There's no issues regarding anybody having any downtime?
No, not at all. We're coming into camp healthy and strong, and that's obviously a big boost for us as a team, not having to worry about players rehabbing or coming back from a major injury.
It's always good to know. I mean, again, you know, you read a lot of stuff, obviously, that's out there. Is there anybody, you know, going into training camp and just kind of taking a look at the guys who are currently on the roster and guys who might be coming in to fight for jobs like Michael DeCal and Ryan Pulak? Is there any surprises that you kind of have, you're kind of foreseeing in your crystal ball as general manager that might not be expected by the time the team hits the ice in October to play Chicago, the Blackhawks?
No, we go in with an open mind, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you're John Tavares or one of the players that you've mentioned. Every player has that drive to take on a bigger role, to get more ice time, to help the team achieve greatness. So it's not just limited to players that you mentioned. Everyone has a responsibility to bring their A game, and it doesn't matter if you're a first-year player or a 15-year veteran. Yeah. The challenge is playing to the best of your abilities, and our guys have always gone in with that mindset.
I got two last things to just bring up before we let you go, Garth. Number one, Lou Vishnowsky, is there any status on him yet? I know he's a restricted free agent, and, you know, I've heard this talk that he possibly wanted to come back. Is there any talk concerning Lubo's possible return to New York?
No, I don't envision that happening.
Okay.
There's obviously a couple of names that are still out there, and we have interest, and hopefully we have news in the next several days.
Okay. And the last thing I'm going to bring up, and it's on a personal level. On Saturday night, there was a charity hockey game that I know that you were involved in with a bunch of other former players. Actually, Eric Bolton was there as well. But here's the situation, Garth. You're the general manager of the New York Islanders, okay? You have a lot of things at your disposal. And you and your PR executive, Kim Brauerbach, played in this charity hockey game, which was a well-played effort, mind you, and I was glad that you were beating up on Boomer Esiason, by the way. but nevertheless, you know, being the general manager of an organization, I would assume that, you know, when you're going and equipping yourself into a uniform, that, you know, you would have possibly wore something orange and blue. But yet, when I saw number 30 come out on the ice, he's wearing L.A. Kings hockey socks, and Kimber Auerbach was wearing solid reds. What's the story? You think Shaky could have went over and gotten you a couple of pair of socks for you guys to wear?
You know what? That when I was putting the socks on, I knew I would get grief, and I probably could have predicted it from you. But
you didn't know I was
socks,
coming.
Yeah, from the men's league team that I play on, and I was in a mad scramble to get out there on time, and I'll make sure I have a proper Islander socks on for the next charity game. That
we
probably
Gary.
Yeah, well, it actually, Claire and I took about a grand total of 2 seconds to figure it out, but that's okay. But, you know, being home with four boys, like, you know, I.
And Gary, I knew when I put those socks on that I was going to get it. So, my apologies. I'll try not to let it happen again, but I was
from all Islander fans, we accept your apology cards. Listen, we wish you nothing, obviously, but success going on. You know, we are, I mean, John and I, Sports Talk 1240, we obviously support you all the way, and we wish you nothing but success in the season, and we're sure we'll catch up as the season goes on.
Gary, John, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guy. Thank you.
Okay, and that was our interview with Gar Snow. Again, I know a lot of times he doesn't want to, you know, lead on to certain things, and I've talked to him a little after the interview, you know, after I stopped recording on the interview, and you know, he really didn't want to make a lot of changes. He felt very comfortable with the lineup he's got. He thinks the camaraderie in the locker room is outstanding. Obviously, you made the little change. You got Thomas Gray, so I think he's going to be a very competent backup goaltender for Halak. It's going to give him a chance to not have to worry about playing 70 games this year. And that was the problem we had, you know, because Chad Johnson obviously was ineffective, and they brought Neuvirth there, and he didn't do as well as he could have done. So I think he's very comfortable with that move. I have a feeling there's going to be a defenseman coming. Obviously, we've all heard about Malik Zlitschke. As a possibility for him joining the team. You know, they're still negotiating. And, of course, you know, there's that rule that Charles Wong instituted 10 years ago. If somebody is on the roster and they're not signed by camp, they're not playing. And Brock Nelson has until Wednesday to get his dotted line, you know, signature on dotted line of contract. According to John Tavares, he's talked to him all summer, and he thinks it's not going to be an issue. We're just going to have to cross fingers and hope
let's get it
back. I mean,
let's,
you know, he's the one that I think needs to prove a lot more than most of the guys that last year wasn't a fluke. I mean, obviously we know the gangbuster start he had and the horrible finish he had. You know, he ended up with a 20-goal season, which is nice for any NHL player these days. But the way he got it, everybody was expecting him to be in the 30 range.
Oh, yeah,
or
he
higher.
Came out like a bat.
He came, exactly.
He's scoring like crazy.
So there's a lot of guys that are going to need to improve themselves. Obviously, when we come back in the second half hour, at the end of the second half hour, we'll talk about that. But, Brian, is there? We'll go to a break right now. We'll pay some bills, and then we come back. John and I are going to talk about that that baseball team out in Flushing that's breaking hearts and tearing the National League apart. You're listening to Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. We'll be right back.
Nice.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit up to $1,500. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit up to $1,500. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240.
broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really sucking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets from New
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240. John was trying to get his audition in for X Factor. I don't think that's going to work. But I had to play that old 1962 version of Meet the Mets.
That was the best.
It was.
I'll tell you a quick story. Like,
go for
it. We talked about it a little before, but just bringing back the Mets. And when I was a kid, we used to jump on the Long Island Railroad, take it in for the summer. This is what we do when we were off, like maybe 9th, 10th grade with some of my friends. And we'd go in, sit in the upper decks. I would watch Kingman blast these bombs, and it was the best time at all. Now I'm excited again being a Mets again.
Well, yeah, we've had some other good times along the way, but yeah, it's basics. I mean, you couldn't imagine. I mean, who would have thought that Wilmer Flores's unfortunate situation that happened to him on trade deadline day, July 31st, would turn out to be what has happened now? I mean, the fact of his, you know, emotional, you know, breakdown on the field, and then ended up the next day with that game-winning home run, and then the Mets not getting Carlos Gomez,
which was the best thing
that could have ever happened to them, because it made Yoenis Cespedes available. And you know, if you hear Jim Brewer on Facebook, he's changing a lot of Bob Marley lyrics and talking about Cespedes for your Mets fans. I mean, he should be given anything he wants, the key to the city.
Oh, sign him right now.
Oh, sorry. Mayor de Blasio is not a Met fan. He's a Red Sox fan. Forget that idea.
But
if it was Bloomberg, it would be no problem.
But let's go, guys. Sign this guy now. You need him for next year. Lock him up so he's happy. Let him keep going. This guy's like a hitting machine. He is going to definitely, if he keeps this up, I know he hasn't played the games, because I know there's like a certain number of games they got to play since he's been traded over to the National League, but The pace he's going, he's on MVP pace right there for the National League.
Oh, there's no question he would be. I mean, to me, what is a most valuable player? It's a person that is solely, not solely, but a major responsibility of making the team the success that they are.
I agree 100%.
And he's done that. I mean, if you take his numbers and multiply it out by four, because you figure he's played almost 40 games as a Met, you're looking, he would have, what, 65 home runs, 160-something RBIs?
That's insane.
It is insane. And not only that, I mean, yes, he had that one gaffe in the field that caused a couple of runs. You know, he tried to, you know, scoop that ball up, and it went behind him and went all the way to the fence. But, I mean, the man has a gun of an arm.
Look at all the other games where he's actually, say, throwing runners out, throwing runners at the plate.
Exactly. 300-foot, you know, bombs, you know, right on the money. I mean, you know, I mean, he throws underhand better than 90% of the people throw overhand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I think that neon sleeve he wears on his arm is like a bionic arm or something.
Well, you notice now, you notice ever since he started wearing the yellow, you see a lot of yellow on the Mets. I mean, DeGrom's shoes that he wore last start, they were yellow striped. Conforto's coming out with the orange bling, and they're all coming out with all this stuff now.
That, like I said, you know, Flores was in the organization since he was 16. I'm so happy that the Mets didn't deal him.
Yeah, they did the right thing.
Listening, thank you, because Gomez, I don't even think Gomez is playing right now because he's hurt. But, you know, getting Cespedes basically was like a We Are Family deal, kind of like what happened with Pittsburgh.
Willie Stargell.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
You're bringing this team together. Everyone's hitting.
I mean,
everybody's hitting.
Just when he hit that home run, I think it was Friday night, and as soon as he got into the dugout, he gets in. Everybody, not only are they, you know, they're hitting him, and then all of a sudden they start jumping up and down together like they won the – it's like they won the pennant right there.
I mean.
You know, you saw the face. You know, you and I could probably sit here if we were sitting here in the middle of June when they couldn't buy a run, and they couldn't do anything right, and you're wondering, you know, everybody's saying, why is Terry Collins here? Why is this? Why is this? Get rid of him. Alderson's done nothing, blah, 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 blah. Does anybody remember those days?
Well, let me ask you this question. Terry Collins right now, speaking of Terry Collins, does he get the manager of the year if the Mets run away and win the division like they're going to do anyway? Were they 9.5 games up on Washington, who everybody predicted Washington to win and go right to the
World Series. Washington was number one, number one odds to make the World Series. Yes. They were 7-1.
Right. Look at them now.
The Mets were 30-1, by the way. So if you had a bet in Vegas on the Mets 30-1 going to the World Series, you're sitting pretty.
So who gets the money?
I mean, right now, you know, it's hard to say. They always tend to give manager of the year to the team that's got the best record.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, right now, obviously, it's Mike Matheny in St. Louis.
Yes.
You know, they're playing 6-22 ball. Yeah, they've only won 3 of their last 10, but they had a big win today. 2.5 game lead over the Pirates, 6.5 over the Cubs.
The Cubs have shocked some people, too, but the Mets.
To me, actually, you know, I hate to say it, but actually that's where I think manager you should go to. Joe Maddon should have the job. Should have that hands down. They're the team that's 20-something games under 500 last year and are 22 over. That's a 40-game swing. So if you had to put a gun to me now, I would say it would be Maddon first and Collins second. Because, you know, I mean, yes, you know, right, you know, at the point before the trade, the Mets were a 500 team. And I said to John at the beginning of the season when we talked right before, I think the end of March when we were talking, I said, you know what? I said, get this team 82-80. I'll be thrilled. That's all I wanted to see. I said, I want to see just a marked improvement. They do a little bit. They get something going, you know, and they stayed at that 500 level all year. And all of a sudden, boom, the deal was made. The change is done. So, I mean, obviously, the magic number is now at 11. The Mets are now home for the next 9.
There you go.
3 with Miami, 3 with the Yankees, and then 3 with Atlanta.
You're going to be at one of the games where they might.
I'm going to get to cover a game. My first Major League Baseball game I get to cover is media. I'm doing it for a friend's website, and I'm so looking forward to it. And you know, it's got a distinct possibility that I could be there the day to clinch, and that would be just like, you know. That could be like hitting a lottery, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just.
What is that? 7 days from now?
It's a week from tomorrow. Yeah, the first game of the series against Atlanta on Monday the 21st. So, figure that's 7 games they got to play. They're not. There's no day off. I don't think there's a day off for the Nats. I know they play Philadelphia for the next 3, and then they go to. I think Miami. They think Miami comes in, and unfortunately, Miami with the Mets don't get to see Fernandez. Because Jose Fernandez is lights out against the Mets. He's always been. I don't think
always
he's ever lost. And I think he's got. What did I hear? If I heard correctly, he didn't get the win because I think they were tied when he came out of the game the other night. But he's got like a 15-0 record lifetime in Marlins Stadium.
It's incredible.
He is. He's just ridiculous. I mean, poor Miami. I mean, you know, I thought there was going to be a lot going, especially when. You know, when Stanton had that ridiculous start, and he's still sixth in the league in home runs, and he's missed 60 games. You know, I mean, he was going to have an easy shot for 50 if he stayed healthy all year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he hits these monsters.
And
shots.
In that ballpark.
Yeah.
Because you heard now, I don't know if you heard, but they during the Mets series, Gary Cohen did mention that they were going to bring that center field fence in. That center field fence right now is 418 feet and 12.5 feet high. They're going to bring that in like 15 feet. You know what that's going to do to Stanton's numbers? Because a lot of his home runs go to dead center.
Yeah, I know. But he hits some like he hits.
He hits moon blasts. He hits moon blasts.
It's their home runs. His shots. They don't have to bring the fences in for that.
Well, him and Cespedes could have a nice long distance hitting contest, especially what he hit on that Saturday night. Oh my God!
He's like the bionic man, the bionic Met. What he is, he's just like he's everything he does. Fielding. I know you said the little bobble at the time, but he's throwing guys.
Yeah, but that's one blip in the screen.
He's been fantastic.
Blip in the screen. Yeah, I mean, yes, he's, you know, the only thing that. If you had to do a scouting report that you could put a negative on him is that he does tend to overswing on some pitches that it makes him look really, really bad. But then the next at bat, he turns around, boom, there it goes.
You know, the Mets wouldn't have to bring the fences in if they had him earlier because he hits these bombs that are way past what they brought in anyway.
Yeah, but that's the left field fences, right? That was the first, Great Wall of Flushing is how he calls it?
Yeah. Conforto's been playing great, too.
I mean, what can you say about it? I mean, the kid it's got ice water in his veins.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's got any problem. And the thing that, again, I know Keith mentioned it, Ron mentioned it, the thing that was supposedly his negative was his defense, and he's been brilliant.
He has been brilliant.
Made a couple of outfield assists. He's made some very smart plays, a couple of great diving catches in left field. He's not a liability at all. And unfortunately, it's making Juan Lagares more just like a seventh and eighth inning defensive replacement.
I know.
You know, it's a shame because you're talking about a Gold Glove outfielder, but You know, unfortunately, he makes a lot of his own situations up. But
he's got to start hitting the ball.
With his defense.
In the beginning of the year, they said that he was playing great in preseason. You know, and he was doing great down in the down in Florida. He was hitting the ball really well. He just came up. He just can't hit.
And now the biggest thing for obviously there's two things the Mets concerning. Number one, obviously the magic number is 11, and second of all the chase for home field in the second round. Obviously, you know that the way things are going to work, they're going to be playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, who've got a 7.5-game lead over the Giants, and their magic number is 13. But their records are almost identical. Actually, the Mets have played one more game than L.A. Mets are 82-61, L.A. is 82-60. So, you know, 3 weeks ago, that wasn't even close. Now they're right on top of each other. And, you know, you got to think. You got to look at this homestand. You know, 9 big games coming up, you know, 6 against teams you know that you can – potentially take care of. Obviously, the big three-game series against the Yankees, and, you know, we understand what's been going on in the Bronx. No matter what kind of a team the Yankees were holding, whether they have a 4.5-game lead or they're in fourth place 8 games out, you know that a Met-Yankee series is going to be a ridiculously hard-played, hard-fought, down-to-the-wire every game, no matter what, and whether it's the Mets on top or the Yankees on top, you know it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So they got those three games in the middle that you got to hope that they come through flying. And the thing that concerned me today when the Mets were pitching, obviously, is you're looking at what John Neese has done over his last 5 starts, and every start has been incredibly bad.
Yeah.
Today he got through 6 innings, only three runs given up, a couple as a result of some. I think today was probably one of the worst defensive outputs the Mets had in a long, long time. I mean, there was too many mistakes being made. And the worst official scoring I have ever seen, because the Mets had one error. I think they should have had 4. And the scoring, the Atlanta scorer has to definitely get some new lenses, because there should have been at least 4 errors on the Mets.
Well, I was flipping back and forth to this game, and I was actually watching the Jets.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I was going back and forth, but what I would do with Neese is I would when they get in the playoffs and they would start the playoffs, I would put Neese in the pen.
You have to.
Yeah, and then you go with those three monsters: Harvey, Noah, and DeGrom as any order it
right.
is, and go that way, and then just put in.
And you use Mats and Neese,
yeah, right, Mats
wherever
and Neese.
You need to
yeah,
see fit.
Exactly. That's
you know they've got some length, and you know you got guys you know that you can you know obviously you'd like to have a right-handed with length with them, but you know that's a decision that Sandy's going to have to make over the next couple of weeks. And
I like to have those decisions.
That is yeah exactly.
Those you know with that
we were definitely not thinking that in April.
No,
and
we were not.
It's a joy to be thinking about it now. And you know what. Again, you and I were both not Yankee fans, but you know what? I really would like to see the Yankees come back. I would like this. I would like because you know what? It's good for the city.
Well, the Met Yankee series is going to be sold out. It's going to be insane.
Oh, that forget regardless of that. But I'm just saying, I would like you know. I mean, obviously, you know.
I mean, Toronto.
We can talk about what Toronto. I mean, Toronto has been brilliant. Right. Again, you know, the two top teams. You know, are up there. Are the Blue Jays and the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, the Mets, and they've done the best since the you know.
Well, they got
the trade
David Price. Look at the you know, Toronto beefed up. They got Tulowitzki, even though
they said he's out 2 to 3 weeks with that little break in his shoulder.
Just look at this. You know, Cespedes was on Oakland, right?
Detroit. Well, he was Oakland, then Boston. Oakland, then Boston, then Detroit.
And this Josh Donaldson guy, who's insane on Toronto, he's got like 30-something homers and 100.
Mm-hmm.
He's insane. He was there, too. They traded both of those guys. If Oakland would have kept those guys, who knows where they would
well,
be.
That's the situation of Billy Beane.
You know, he's straightening his guys.
He plays in a small market, you know, and until they ever straighten that situation out in Oakland, he's going to continuously do that. And that's
well, two of the hot hitters started there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. But, you know, that's
– But Toronto. I definitely could see Toronto with that. They have a you know with Price leading that pitching staff, and they got some the closer that rookie closer that they have over there. He's a little shaky lately, but Toronto Yankees are 3.5 out. They still got some room to catch them. They didn't make it up this series, obviously.
Right. Just to give everybody a score update, Dallas is beating the Giants 6-3 with 2:54 left in the second quarter. They finally got the U.S. Open going on, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer. It is now 4-4 in the third set, 1 set apiece. So that's probably going to go on for another hour and a half. Those poor people that had tickets for a 3:30 start at the tennis match, and it didn't start until almost 8. Yeah, well, you paid a lot of money for those tickets. You get to spend all day. But, you know, just looking now, let's just for a few minutes just change gears and let's talk about our Jets, 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 Jets. Very happy Jet fans wearing my Decker jersey.
Of course,
scored the second touchdown and did a little leap into the stands. Was very happy to see that. You know, obviously with the whole Geno Smith situation, and I'm not going to get into that at all, but, you know, just be thankful for, you know, as a Jet fan that you've got a guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick, a grizzled veteran, you know, looks like Grizzly Adams, but Harvard educated, very intelligent. You know, you hear his interviews and you think you're talking to an economist and not a National Football League quarterback. So, you know, obviously, as we both said, a little shaky in the beginning. We kept wondering what was going on. Of course, you know, the McCown hit, you know, which caused the fumble, and he gets out with the concussion. Of course, Johnny Football comes in, and I'm just looking at myself, oh, God. He hasn't done anything. He didn't do anything all last year. Now he's going to come in and he's going to go ballistic. And of course, he throws that bomb for the touchdown, his first ever NFL touchdown pass.
Yes.
And of course,
which I was surprised because I thought he had one last year for some reason. But
no, yeah, and his problem. They said during the broadcast was his accuracy, was his long distance accuracy, and sure enough, he dispelled some people with that. And of course, I forget the name of the Browns receiver that caught the ball, but he left Cromartie in the dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wonder what it was, and then all of a sudden in the second quarter, there goes Cromartie down, and it was on his own, Travis Benjamin, that's right. And you find out that it wasn't anything, you know, significant. I mean, not a big thing, but it was actually his own step that caused the injury. It was just his backpedaling, and he turned his ankle the wrong way, and he hyperextended, and oh, you just, you know, just watching those things in slow motion, it just gives you the heebie-jeebies. But,
Well, the Jets don't play. I think they play on Monday night. They come back on Monday against the Colts, I believe.
Right, right.
So they have some time to.
They have an extra 24 hours. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you hope that's only, you know, the only thing. And obviously, again, that the injury of that rookie, the third-round pick from Louisville, the defensive lineman that got nailed.
Oh, yeah. Neck and back. He was rushed to the hospital.
Rushed to the hospital, but yeah.
Players go after him. Hopefully, he'll be quick recovery.
Yep. But again, as a Jet fan, you've got to be happy with the performance. I mean, obviously, you know,
100%.
You know, the running game is going to be the key to success, and Chan Gailey, I think, has a good handle on what he's got, and he knows how to take that running game and make his passing game work with it. You know, he's not going to, you know, you're not going to see, you know, 30, 40, 50 yard bombs from Fitzpatrick. You're going to see a lot of shots into the flat, a lot of, you know, running back option passes and things like that. You know, small yardage gains, building yourself up and, you know, up and down the down to the red zone. And you saw the Jets do exactly that. I mean, yes, Cleveland's defense is going to be suspect, and they showed it today. But you know, that's exactly what you would want out of a Jet offense in the first game of the season.
Well, it's not going to be sexy for a lot of, you know, the fans. But you know what? We want to win. Get down there. Let Fitzpatrick do what he has to do. Hit those receivers, those big receivers, because Brandon Marshall 6'4", your boy right there that you're wearing right there,
Decker.
I think he's 6'5", or
he's
something
6'5".
Like that. Big guys.
Yeah,
he's a big guys.
He's a very big boy.
So you hit those guys, hit them, and then you run. Then once you get the lead, you run. Like they ran for 150-something yards today. They rushed on Cleveland, and that's what you got to do. And, you know, they got a tough game coming up next week against the Colts. The Buffalo just beat them up there.
Buffalo beat them pretty handily.
Now we're going on Monday night in
Indy.
Their home opener. It's going to be a tough game.
Yeah,
I think the Jets could do it, though. They could contain them.
Yeah, just said 154 yards of on the ground. Ivory with 91, Bilal Powell with 62.
I mean, that's what
you want. You don't, you know, you have a two-headed monster, and you bring him in all situations. Both of them had gains of 20 yards, so that's exactly what you're looking for.
The defense had five turnovers. They played great today.
Yeah, could go a couple of good interceptions. I mean, that strange one where, the interception comes on Cleveland and then Marshall just strips the ball right out. I was like, wow. You know, everything was, you know, you knew, even though they were behind, you knew things were going their way. And they didn't have much of possession in the beginning of that half either. They were only like.
Yeah, right. You're right.
I think they only had 10 minutes of possession in the first half. But you knew that things were going the right way because they were taking advantage of things that they needed to do. You know, but obviously, you know, we was talking about some things that shocked us. Obviously, seeing the Buffalo game, you know, Buffalo, I was watching a little bit of that. And for any of you people that don't have the NFL Red Zone, I highly recommend it. I finally went out and did it for the first time. Obviously, it's been free on my cable system all along. I just never bothered with it. never realized how good it was until I actually watched it. And I'm like, especially when my wife was out of the room for 15, 20 minutes, I had it on continuously. I'm like, oh, I can love this every Sunday.
For a football fan, I've been watching that for a couple of years since it started, actually, mm-hmm. the Red Zone. I actually need it. For a football fan, you need the Red Zone on Sunday. You just pray that you don't have to be going anywhere, any family functions or anything. For a fan, if you're involved in fantasy, it's a necessity.
Oh, yeah.
You have to sit there. You know, like, I mean, I'm flipping back and forth from the Jet game and to the Red Zone to the Met game. I'm like, it's like, everyone stay away. My wife, you can my almost, kids, get away. Just get away from me.
You can almost write off any taxes, yeah. John.
I'm like, back off. Let me. This is my time. My couple hours here on Sunday. Just let me do my sports and let me get through this.
I mean, some other big shockers. Well, I wouldn't call them shockers, but of course, down in Tampa, you had the debut of Marcus Mariota against Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota throws for four touchdowns and a 42-14 romp over the Bucks.
That was beautiful.
You know, people were saying, oh, you know, Winston looks pretty good in preseason. You know, Tampa's gonna, you know, really shock some people. Are you kidding me? My nephew works is a Tampa fireman, and he does first aid at the Buck games, and he kept making comments during the preseason about it's not going to be fun here, and boy was he right. I think it's going to be a long year for the Bucks. I'll be surprised if they get two or three wins all season.
Jameis Winston is the second quarterback to throw his first NFL pass for a pick six the other way.
Yeah,
you know what the first one was?
No,
Brett Favre.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Let's hope he doesn't have that same career.
Oh, when he was – that's right. He started out in Atlanta, right?
Atlanta
Falcon.
But
yeah.
Brett Favre's first pick was a pick six the other way. But Winston's first pass of all time was –
Oh, my goodness.
Him and Favre. Out of all these quarterbacks that started, that's crazy.
Yeah, and Baltimore-Denver. I heard something, and I didn't really – I guess I came into the room at the end of it, but they were saying something about, like, the lowest yards for a first half.
Yeah.
For the Ravens and Broncos in, like, I don't know how many years. And you look at who's – I'm looking at the box score right now. Flacco, 18 for 32 for 117 yards and two picks. Peyton Manning, 24 for 40, 175, one pick. Both their quarterback ratings combined don't even break 100.
I think Denver had 202 for the whole game or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Something along those lines. The Broncos got the lead late. They took the field goal. They got the lead by six late. Baltimore drove with 1:50 left and a pick in the end zone. I mean, it wasn't what you would expect for a typical, first of all, typical game in Denver. But
with these two offenses,
right. As good as they are,
I don't think there was. I'm looking at it now. I don't even think there was an offensive touchdown. There were a pick six from Manning. Jimmy Smith picked them off.
Did somebody pick off Flacco for six?
Yeah, Talib picked off Flacco for a 51-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And the rest were field goals.
Yeah.
There's your game.
I mean,
you think Peyton Manning, if you got him as a fantasy guy, or you were Peyton, let's watch Peyton throw three or four touchdowns. It's not happening.
Well, speaking of fantasy, we did the league with the guys from the radio show last year, and I had Andrew Luck.
That's right.
And I'm like, he saved my bacon so many weeks and kept me going to almost. Unfortunately, I fell apart the last 3 weeks and got knocked out of the playoffs. But he was the one that kept me in there the whole time. And I'm watching the Red Zone and watching the clips of him against the revamped Buffalo Bills and the Rex Ryan show. Flacco looked lost out there. And yeah, he was getting his passes in, but he definitely, obviously looking at the numbers, 26 of 49, 243, two TDs and two picks.
Oh, you're talking about Luck.
Yeah. But Tyra Taylor. Oh, you like the? I love the.
He was a backup in Baltimore last year. I was like, where's this guy coming from? Where?
123 rating again. For only 14-19, 195. But you hear that? I think he's got the greatest nickname ever. I heard it during the Red Zone.
Let me hear this one.
They're calling him T-Mobile.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Because especially got me nine rushes for 46 yards. He got a 31-yard run during the game. I mean,
I'm happy. I love the Jets. So do you. We both love the Jets. I'm happy for Rex Ryan. I like Rex Ryan. And Buffalo is a team. Look, they lost four times in the Super Bowl. They're a team that you can't really hate. It's not like New England where you can't stand that team. Well, Miami.
And we haven't even talked about New England yet.
We don't even want to go down that road.
No, we don't want to go down that road. No,
we have enough time to go down that road.
Remember, this is a family friendly show too.
But I'm just saying. But Buffalo, I'm happy for Rex. Well, when they play the Jets, he's the enemy. But other than that, let's go. And then when you play New England the two times, I want you to play the same way you beat Indianapolis today.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But, again, it's been an interesting week one. Of course, there's two. They got two games on Monday night. You got the Eagles going against the Atlanta Falcons, and, of course, the Vikings in San Francisco at the home of Super Bowl 50. Wow, can you believe we're saying Super Bowl 50? Yeah, out in Santa Clara. So it should be should make an interesting end of week one. Of course, I'm a big college football fan, too. And unfortunately, Malik Zaire, who's the quarterback of Notre Dame, broke his ankles out for the year.
He's out, yeah. Did Notre Dame win yesterday?
They held on with Virginia. Yeah, that, I mean, they got a late touchdown pass in the last 2 minutes to pull it off. But, obviously, I even forget the name of their quarterback because he transferred to Florida State. But anyway, they were expecting a lot of things from this lefty quarterback, and it was just a freak accident. And it's going to be a tough year for me now. I don't think Notre Dame is going to do as good as I thought they did. But you know what? Let's go. Let's end the last 5 minutes of the show going back with our hockey team, going back with the Islanders. Of course, a week from tomorrow is the first preseason game at the Barclays Center. The Islanders taking on the Flyers. Of course, the October 9th season opener on a Friday night against the defending Stanley Cup champion, the Chicago Blackhawks. Should make for an interesting start. Again, obviously looking at the roster, knowing what's going on, knowing what Herbert Garth said, every position is available. Nothing, obviously, with the exception probably of number 91 and maybe 55 and 2.
Yes.
Nobody's secure. Everybody's got to have to fight and punch their tails off for the job. Obviously, we're looking at the defensive situation. I did a two-minute article on Believe in Nassau website that does a great job with the Islanders. His name is Justin Weiss. He asked me a couple of things. I said, you take the big three out, and, obviously defense is up for grabs. Hickey had his ups and had more, to me, more downs than ups, but they really believe in this kid. Three signed him. So, you hope that he comes back a little bit stronger because he was pushed off the puck too many times. Obviously, they talked about Lubo. Lubo's not returning. There's a possible Malik Zelichky return, coming.
Right.
Which would give a nice veteran presence, but then you got the presence of Boychuk and Letty, so you really don't necessarily need that. But then you look at the young guys. You look at Ryan Pulock. You look at Scott Mayfield.
Mayfield has to be.
Because Mayfield went from, probably 10 or 11 on the depth chart up to, 5.
He played fantastic
He played his tail off in the playoffs.
He sure did.
And again, I've been following him in the last 2 years. He is a guy, he's a kid that he has to play that level every single day. He's got to play every game like it's his last. If he comes out that way, he comes out gangbusting, he will make this team. But, you still have to look at, that slash out of Ryan Pulock's. I mean, they clocked him at 106.
Which is insane.
That's deadly.
Deadly.
And his flaws are his speed, and his flaws are his get back into the play defensively. And hopefully he had the summer of his life working out in Brandon, Manitoba this summer. And hopefully he brings that back. Looking obviously on the offensive side, you hope for some rebounds. Obviously,
Poso's healthy.
Again, as Gar said, everybody is healthy. He said to me after the call that everybody is absolutely pumped up and ready to go. He really is looking for some nice surprises he didn't want to talk about. To me, again, I've always been a fan of his. I have a jersey with his number on it, but unfortunately I bought it before my weight loss surgery, so it's about six sizes too big. But I want to see a return of Michael Grabner this year. I've been a Grabby fan all along, and he's had probably one of the toughest summers he's ever had working out, getting ready. So he's always been a very specimen like guy. He's very very low body fat, very sculpted, and very.
Well, one time he was one of the fastest guys.
Well,
in the
he
NHL.
Still he yeah. still is one of the fast. He yeah. probably still is the fastest skater in the NHL. But you still have to concern yourself with the injuries, the groins, and all that stuff. So you hope that he comes back. Obviously, Wednesday is the deadline for Brock Nelson to sign.
Let's hope he gets in there.
According to people I've talked to, according to John Tavares, he says that it's definitely going to happen. They're going to sign him. There should be no issues about that. So we got about we got 2 minutes, John. Hey, listen, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. But before we go, I just want to say, John, if you're listening out there, enjoy your little time out in Hawaii right there. We're very jealous of you out there. But at least we have, at least we have, well, we have the opportunity to watch the Mets.
He gets these great freaking vacations.
I don't know how he does it, this guy.
Where are we? We're here. We're in West Babylon. We're doing radio, for Christ's sake.
He's got his feet in the sand, the Mai Tai in his hand, he's watching, he's the, those, sun's on his face. He's, who's got it better than John right now?
Exactly, exactly. So again, John and I will be back right after the season starts, and we'll be getting back on the Islander beat. John Sweeney will be back with Derek Wasiak
October
starting in October. Yeah. Coming, John, what's your Twitter handle?
Alicat 0010.
Alicat 0010. Mine is G Harding WGBB. Of course, you can catch us on Facebook as well. Sports Talk 1240. You could definitely catch us there. If you got any critiques on the show, tell us anything you want us to know about. That would be the place to do it. We got 1 minute. And, again, John, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back on me. Anytime you want to come on, you know that. Even if it's just John and I, hey, come back in.
We'll talk a little while with the Mets. You know, the Mets,
we're
going to
be hoping we're talking playoffs, baby. That's what we want.
That's what we're talking.
That's what we want. And, again, also just as a
– what's the score to make the – 13-6 right now,
yeah,
Giants.
Yeah, Giants got 10 points in the last minute and a half. How do they do that? It's amazing. So, this is Gary Harding along with John Sweeney. We want to thank you for tuning in to the 2 hours of Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB. And as my good friend, the late Bill Hayes, says, keep skating, everybody. This is Sports Talk 1240, WGBB. Good night, everybody.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.